Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I am grateful, I am thankful, and I know that I am blessed to be a child of the Most High God, who is the source and center of my strength. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thanking God again for a do-over. Hallelujah. We can do the day over and pray that today will be better than yesterday, that our tomorrow will be better than today, because only God knows if you will have a tomorrow. So thank God this morning for your today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord with me. Hallelujah. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning lifting up the name of Jesus, knowing, Lord God, that you are in charge of everything. You said in your word you will never leave us or forsake us. Lord God, I'm standing on your word this morning. I stand on your word every morning, believing and trusting in you that you will make crooked paths straight, that you will, Lord God, give us insight, wisdom, and understanding. Father God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation on my heart this morning be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength. I say again, you, Lord God, are my strength. You are my redeemer. You are my saving grace. And I thank you for your son who loved me. I make it personal, God, who loved me enough to die for me, to die for my sins on Calvary's cross. And Lord, I thank you that we can each individually say, he died for me, as he intercedes every day for me. Why? Because he loves me, and because you love me. And all I can say is thank you, God, for your love. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your goodness and your kindness. Thank you for your correction, God. For we all need to be corrected by our parents when we mess up. Lord God, I ask you to help us all clean up what we've messed up. Give us insight and foresight and wisdom, God, to do what is right in your sight and not forsake your commandments, oh God, as you do not forsake us. In the name of Christ Jesus, I lift up this word today, Lord God. I pray that the word that is coming from your word, the basic instruction before leaving us, that it touches someone's heart, someone's mind, someone's spirit that has not been saved, that does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that they will get to know him through your word. Let this word permeate hearts, minds, and spirits today as well. I ask you to increase as I decrease. Hide me behind your loving wings, O God. Cover me in your ark of safety, O God, as you speak through me, in Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for each and every one of you in your prospective places this morning, asking God to give you coverage, asking God to guide you and lead you in the way that you should go and in the vocation and in whatever he has called you to do. I pray that you will accept the call, because we don't know how much time we have, but I pray God gives us all the time we need to handle our business that he has called us to do. Hallelujah. Are you ready to go to work this morning? Well, let's do it. And we are coming this morning in our Bible study on this 31st day of May. I cannot believe the month of grace is almost over. Come on now. Five, grace, almost over. Can you believe it? We have gone through 5 months of this year, about to go into the sixth, half a year. Wow, time is flying. It is flying by. But we know that our Father has all the time in his hands. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For those that are just joining us, Moving Forward Experience, we are a Bible study that reads the Word of God in 1 year. The goal that God gave me and the assignment was to read his Word in 1 year, the entire Bible, starting at Genesis chapter 1 and ending at Revelation chapter 21, verse, I might be wrong, that might be 22, verse 21, that's it, 22, verse 21 of Revelation, from January 1st to December 31st. And the Bible that I'm coming out of is a year Bible, and it is the Life Principles Daily Bible by Dr. Charles Stanley. And it is biblical principles for each day of the year. On Fridays and Sundays, we do 3 days. So we do not do a show on Saturday. That's my day of rest that God has given me. So what we do is on Saturday, on Friday, it is like an Old Testament or a New Testament, whichever God gives me to read for that day. But it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday's Word. And then on Sunday, it is either a New Testament or Old Testament with Proverbs and Psalms. And it's, again, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So we definitely get every day in. We just may not get it in on that day. But every day of the year will be represented on this show so that we can get that word in. And again, we're getting 365 days of word, and we're getting it to finish the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. So you cannot, nobody can't say, well, I don't know. When you read it yourself, God will put that word back in your remembrance. Especially if you pray, when you go into a church and you say, Lord, help me to understand what this preacher is preaching, and help me to see if he is preaching it in context. Because so many times we go and we hear a word and we talk about how pastor such and such, that he preached that word. Ooh, he preached that word. And then when you say, well, what was the word? And they can't tell you, because he never opened the Bible. He just went and gave you Jesus, wept, and went for it. But he didn't tell you the context in which Jesus wept. He didn't tell you the context of the love that God has for us. He didn't tell you in the context that it was about that he wept because he felt the pain of his sister. And when I say his sister, I'm saying his sister in spirit. Looking at his sisters, Mary and Martha, and his brother Lazarus, who was a friend who he loved. No context. So you have to make sure, that's why we do this, is so that when you step before anyone and you hear a word, it will come back to your remembrance. Wait a minute. You know, our pastor, just within the last couple of days, talked about Mephibosheth. Most people don't know anything about a Mephibosheth, but we do. So when he started speaking about Lodabar and Mephibosheth, I was like, you better preach, and he did. He showed out on Mephibosheth. And that we have got to have our remembrance. When someone you love does something for you, You got to help them, help their loved ones. Jonathan was David's best friend. He helped David. He saved David's life on many occasions. And David never forgot his descendants. You know, Mephibosheth couldn't even walk because his feet had been crushed by his nursemaid as she was running what she thought from David. But David would never have hurt Mephibosheth. He would have always loved on that child. But she wouldn't have known that. Because when distortions happen, people hear what they want to hear. But that's why we read the Word of God and we do it in context. So let's get in context and get our word in this morning. We are coming today from 1 Kings chapter 9 through chapter 10, verse 29. We are also coming from, if you want to get your pens and paper out one more time, 1 Kings chapter 9 verse to chapter 10, verse 29. Psalm 69, verses 1 through 4. Proverbs 17, verses 18 through 19. And our main focus this morning is John chapter 11, verses 30 through 57, as well as 1 Kings chapter 9, verses 3 through 6. So let's keep going. Let's get into the word this morning. And say it with me, y'all. Y'all know how I get. It is a great word. Let's get giddy for Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. And the word of God says, and it came to pass when Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord and the king's house and all Solomon's desire, which he wanted to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time. Remember the first time he appeared to him and asked him what he wanted. And he didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for gold. He didn't ask for anything. He asked for wisdom. And when he asked for wisdom, God gave him everything else that he needed and more. So this is the second visitation of Solomon by God, by the Lord. And he said, and the Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer, because Solomon prayed, and your supplication, and you have made, that you have made before me. I have consecrated this house, which you have built, to put my name there forever. And my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Now, if you walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity of heart and uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, as I promised David, your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. But note, what did God say? If you walk before me as your father David walked. Now, we all know David was not perfect. We know David was an adulterer. David was a hot mess. But he repented, and he loved God more than anything. And he did follow God's statutes. He did follow God's commandments. He prayed all the time. David was always in prayer. That's why we have the Psalms. David would give God glory every time. He would pray. He would supplicate. He would ask God. David was a love, he loved God, and we got to love God too. Yes, we will fall. Yes, we will make mistakes. Yes, we will have moments, but we still got to repent, get back up, ask God to dust us off, and he will send you on your way. You know how our moms, they used to say, you spit clean, spit shine, because you'd have that little small piece of or whatever, on the side of your lip or on your cheek, and your mama would put a finger with it, put a little spit on the finger and wipe your face, spit shine. God spit shines us. You know, when we fall and we have a little spot here, take that little, wipe it off. What did Jesus do? Take that spit and dirt and put it on the eyes, and immediately we can see. You know, spit shine by the Lord. But he told Solomon, if you, and we got to make sure that if you walk, we got to do it for our children. We got to walk right. We got to talk right. We got to be examples. And then as it goes on, it says, but if you are your sons, come on now, at all turn from following me and do not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them. And this house, which I have consecrated for my name, I will cast out of my sight. Israel will be a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And as for this house, which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and will hiss and say, why has the Lord done this, done thus to this land and to this house? Then they will answer, because they forsook the Lord, their God, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have embraced other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, the Lord has brought all this calamity on them. Now, it happened at the end of 20 years, when Solomon had built the two houses, the house of the Lord, the king's house. Hiram, the king of Tyre, had supplied Solomon with cedar and cypress and gold as much as he desired. The king Solomon then gave Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee. Then Hiram came from Tyre to see the cities which Solomon had given him, but they did not please him. So he said, what kind of cities are these which you have given me, my brother? And he called them the land of Kabul, and as they are to this day. And look it up on the computer, Kabul, and you will be surprised. Then Hiram sent the king 120 talents of gold. And this is the reason for the labor force which King Solomon raised to build the house of the Lord, his own house, the Millo, as well as Jerusalem, Hazar, Megiddo, and Gezer. Pharaoh's king of Egypt had gone up and taken Gezer and burned it with fire and killed the Canaanites who dwelt in the city and had given it as a dowry to his daughter, Solomon's wife. Because we know Solomon, again, not supposed to be married outside of Israel, wives that deal in idolatry. What did he do? Made a deal with Egypt, married the Pharaoh's daughter, who was a what? Idolater. Let's keep it moving. And Solomon built Gezer, Lor Beth-horon, Baalath, and Tadmor in the wilderness in the land of Judah. All the storage cities that Solomon had cities for his chariots and cities for his cavalry, and whatever Solomon desired to build in Jerusalem and Lebanon and all the land of his dominion. All the people who were left of the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites who were not of the children of Israel, that is, their descendants who were left in the land after them, whom the children of Israel had not been able to destroy completely. From these Solomon raised forced labor, as it is to this day. But of the children of Israel, Solomon had no forced labor, because they were men of war, and his servants, his officers, his captains, commanders of his chariots, and his cavalry. Others were chiefs of the officials who were over Solomon's work, 550, who ruled over the people who did the work. But Pharaoh's daughter came up from the city of David to her house, which Solomon had built for her. Then he built the Millo. Now, three times a year, Solomon offered burnt offerings and peace offerings on the altar which he had built for the Lord, and he burned incense with them on the altar that was before the Lord. So he finished the temple. King Solomon also built a fleet of ships to Ezion Geber, which is near Elath, on the shores of the Red Sea, in the land of Edom. Then Hiram sent his servants with the fleet, seamen who knew the sea, to work with the servants of Solomon, and they went to Ophir and acquired 420 talents of gold from there and brought it to King Solomon. Now when the queen of Sheba, and we all know this story, heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him, which with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, camels and that bore spices, very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, She spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters and their apparel, his cupbearers, and his entryway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes. And indeed, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceeds the fame of which I heard. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord has loved Israel forever. Therefore, he made you king to do justice and righteousness." Then she gave the king 120 talents of spices in great quantity and precious stones. There never again came such abundance of spices as the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Also the ships of Hiram, which brought gold from Ophir, brought great quantities of almug wood and precious stones from Ophir. And the king made steps of the almug wood for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, all harps and stringed instruments for singers. There never again came such almug wood, nor has the like been seen to this day. Now King Solomon gave the queen of Sheba all she desired, whatever she asked, besides what Solomon had given her, according to the royal generosity. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. And we all know that there are those that say that he gave her a baby and that her descendants of Sheba are the descendants of Solomon. And that's where we get some other, again, read about it on the internet or go to the library, because there's a whole lot more going on with these two than what we see. But we all understand that, you know, some things historically are not always written, but we know that this is history, his story. We need to understand the Bible is a book of history. And you can prove pretty much everything that's written here. You can go and find it in historical documents. So it is history. So we are having a history lesson today, his story. And as we continue, it says, the weight of gold that came to Solomon yearly was 666 talents of gold. Besides that, from the traveling merchants, from the income of traders, from all the kings of Arabia, and from the governors of the country. And King Solomon made 200 large shields of hammer gold. 600 shekels of gold went into each shield. He also made 300 shields of hammer gold. 3 minias of gold went into each shield. The king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made of ivory and overlaid it with pure gold. The throne had 6 steps, and the top of the throne was round at the back. There were armrests and other sides of the place of the seat, and 2 lions stood beside the armrests. 12 lions stood there, 1 on each side of the 6 steps. Nothing like this has been made for any other kingdom. All King Solomon's drinking vessels were gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were pure gold. Not one was silver, for this was accounted as nothing in the days of Solomon. But the king had merchant ships at sea with the fleet of Hiram. Once every 3 years, the merchant ships came bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and monkeys. So King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. Now all the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom. which God had put in his heart. Each man brought his present, articles of silver and gold, armor, spices, horses, and mules at a set rate year by year. And Solomon gathered chariots and horsemen. He had 1,400 chariots, 12,000 horsemen, whom he stationed in the chariot city and with the king at Jerusalem. The king made silver as common in Jerusalem as stones, and he made cedar trees as abundant as the sycamores which are in the lowlands. Also, Solomon had horses imported from Egypt and Kedah. The king's merchants brought them in Kedah at the current price. Now, a chariot that was imported from Egypt cost 600 shekels of silver and a horse 150, and thus through their agents they exported them all, the kings of Hittites and the kings of Syria. You know what? Come on now. You know this man was mega rich. He was mega rich. He had it going on. He had abundance. You know what he was paying for horses and chariots? Abundance. Made silver like stone. Come on now. Solomon didn't play. All that and some. So we can have all the riches in the world, but if we lose our soul, we have nothing. All the wisdom in the world, and even he messed up. We got to repent. We got to ask God, Lord, forgive me for my mess. Help me to clean up. So I have a message. Help me to do what I need to do. From our test comes our testimony. We got to speak and talk with the Lord and speak to him with a heart that's open to receive whatever it is God has for you, even if it may be chastisement. God may be spanking you right now. You wonder why everything is going on. It's like, Lord, why am I going through this? Because it might just be that God is getting your attention for something else. Because he always has great things for his children. All you have to do is be patient and wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. Believe and trust in the Lord God. He will not forsake you. And as we continue in our word this morning, it says, to the chief musician, set to the lilies a psalm of David. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I have come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. Those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs on my head. They are mighty who will destroy me. Being my enemies wrongfully, though I have stolen nothing, I still must restore it. David did not play through. David went through some stuff. You think about being chased for years because somebody hates you for no reason. Nothing you have done, but God did it. But they mad at God, but they taking it out on you. We all know. We all have been there. We all have had those thorns in our side. We all have had haters, folks that do you in and do you wrong, even though you've done nothing but good for them. And all you can do is give them to God and keep it moving. Move forward. Don't look backwards. Don't go digging up the dirt from yesterday, because that dirt is down for a reason. Leave the dirt where it is, on the ground, and keep it moving. Walk on it, stomp on it, and keep it going, because it doesn't do anything but bring pain. Let the stuff from the past go. Let it go, because it doesn't hurt you. I mean, it doesn't hurt whoever you mad at. I always say folks that got unforgiveness in their heart, who you unforgiving? Who you don't want to, they did this, that, and the other to me 15 years ago. 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 7 years ago. And so I have no, I can't stand them. And, you know, I won't, and then you put a curse on somebody. Not understanding when you put curses on somebody, you're putting a curse on yourself. And as you going about all mad and filled with all that anger and all that, that destruction, wondering why you're sick all the time. Because you haven't forgiven. You got to let go. Let go of all that stuff. I had to find out my own stuff. It's like, Lord, why? And it's like, you ain't forgave. You got to forgive. And I had to forgive some folks that I felt they did me wrong. But you know what? I had to let that mess go. Because as you walking around all unforgiving, the person that you're not forgiving is going on about their life and about their business. Found out somebody had an ain't against me that I didn't even know about, smiling in my face on a regular, and didn't know that they had an issue with me. Something that I didn't even do, but they thought I did. And so they had this all this unforgiveness in their heart, but yet didn't come to me and ask me. They just took it at word value. As he said, she said. And so they walking around unforgiving. And I'm going on about my business. And let me tell you, that's exactly what happened. Somebody walking around with unforgiveness in their heart don't understand. The person you're not forgiving is going on about their business, living life to the full. We got to let stuff go. And, Lord, I ask you to forgive those that don't have forgiveness in their heart. If I have done anything, you got to stop. You got to pray daily. Lord, if I have done anything to hurt anybody, please forgive me. Things I have done, known and unknown, forgive me. And, Lord, as you forgive me, I ask you to remove any unforgiveness from the hearts of others that may have an unforgiving heart toward me. We got to pray those prayers for others because you don't want anybody walking around unforgiving. David had to deal with all of that stuff. And as we go to the Proverbs 17, 18 through 19, a man devoid of understanding shakes hands in a pledge and becomes surety for his friend. Been there, done that. Come on now. He who loves transgression loves strife, and he who exalts his gate seeks destruction. You know, folks, all these people chasing riches, chasing gold, chasing after everything but God, and wondering why they unhappy. I want to be rich. I remember there was one song, and I can't even, don't ask me who the singer was because I forgot. It's been that long ago. But one of the words was, I want to be rich. You know what? All the riches in the world can't buy you into heaven. All these billionaires, almost trillionaires, who have not thought to help anybody but themselves. You know, don't pay their workers. In the last century, the income gap has grown so wide that you have 1% of the world population having more than the 99 all combined, which is awful. And you can see the tilting of crazy going on. Because when you don't have, it's like crabs in the barrel, they gather back down. I can't let you get higher than me, so I pull you down. We got to lift each other up. And I say, all the riches in the world mean absolutely nothing if you lose your soul. And as we continue in our word this morning, we are in John chapter 30 through chapter 11, verses 30 through 57, and we're talking about love. We're talking about a greater love than any man could ever have, the love for a brother. Jesus loved Lazarus. That was his brother by another mother. Come on now. He loved Lazarus. He loved those sisters. He loved Mary, who anointed his feet with her hair. And it's in the word. It's not me saying it. It's in the word. It's like, well, we don't know. No, yes, we do. Mary of Bethany was this Mary who learned everything she could. Hallelujah. And it, the word that God gave me this morning. Believe and trust in the Lord God. He will not forsake you. And this is what the girl, this is Jesus speaking through this word as well. Get your red letter Bible out. Hallelujah. And it says this, now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. And you all are in her grill. You know, there are folks that love to see people in pain. Well, she's going to the tomb to weep, so let's go with her. We want to wail with her. We want to cry with her. We want to be with her. Did you stop to think that maybe she wanted to be by herself? No, of course not. And then it goes on to say, then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and he said, where have you laid him? Then they said, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Two words. Shortest scripture in the Bible. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus again groaned in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? If you believe, you would see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, he went to the throne. Jesus didn't go to the phone. He went to the throne. Father, I thank you. He gave a thank you in advance. I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Powerful words. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. We got to have that in our spirit, that word just touched me because it hit my own heart. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this that they may believe that you sent me. Hallelujah. Jesus had to clarify that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, these things, loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Three words. Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him, but some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things Jesus did. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, what shall we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation. Both our place. It wasn't about whether he was the Son of God. It was about power. And we see it every day. Churches leaving God for power, leaving the word for power, leaving what is thus says the Lord for power. These folks was not concerned about the salvation of the people. They were concerned about statutes and rules. More rules, the more rules we can dump on you, the more power we have over you. You can't wear pants. You only can wear a dress. You can't wear makeup. You can't wear jewelry. You can't wear anything. You can't have a job. You can't go to school. You can't drive a car. You can't. Your body belongs to me. You can't. I choose who you marry because you can't. All the can't are about power. And I'm talking so many religions, so many folks in charge who could care less about the soul of their congregation. It's all about power. You vote this way, and if you don't vote this way, then you're not a Christian because I said so. Not because God said so, not because the word of God said so, but because I said so. And I'm in charge, so I'm going to tell you what to do. Understand. What did they say? The Romans will come and take away both our place and the nation. And then as we continue, it says, and one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and not that the whole nation should perish. He doesn't understand. That's a prophetic word. He was speaking a prophetic word as high priest and didn't know it because that's what happened. Jesus died for all of us. He died for all of our sins. He died not just for one nation, but for all nations. He died for all of us. And then as it continues, now this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation and not for that nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. Then from that day on, they plotted to put him to death. Therefore, Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there into the country near the wilderness to a city called Ephraim, and there remained with his disciples. And the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went from the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then they sought Jesus and spoke among themselves as they stood in the temple. What do you think, that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a command that if anyone knew where he was, he should report it, that they might seize him. They were after Jesus. And understand, there is wickedness in this world. As we have seen, so many babies dying. Shots being fired all over this country. You got folks, children, taken and getting guns to kill their peers. We have to pray. Pray for our nation. Pray for our government. Pray for the leaders of this planet. Not just our world, our nation, but of this world. We need to pray for leaders to have wisdom, to have love and compassion for others. And we have to pray for each other that we will not have hearts of hatred and bigotry and intolerance. Because God is watching. And when Jesus comes the next time, he's coming to do some calling. He's coming to fight that last battle for our soul with the enemy of this world. But what does he say? What does he do? Walk to and fro. Why? To create havoc. Havoc all over this world. We're looking at havoc in Ukraine and Russia right now. Havoc. Because the question I ask is, what did Ukraine do to Russia that they thought it was all right to invade? We have to be very careful, fall into traps. Because the enemy is busy. And people of God need to get out of foolishness and get on their knees and pray. Pray without ceasing for this world. Not just your country, but this world. Because I was, as one of my people I work for, she was looking at trees the other day, and she said, that tree is dying. That tree is dying. That tree is dying. We have a lot of dying trees. And understand it is trees that keep us alive. And if our trees are dying, our planet is dying. And we need to pray for God to heal this planet. Think that through. Ask for God. Healing. Healing our planet. Healing us as individuals. With love and kindness do we draw them. There is nothing worse than a hateful Christian. So bigoted. So indoctrinated. That we can't love anybody. All we can do is sit in judgment. And that is not our place. Our place and our position are to love. Love. Love changes lives and hearts. And trusting God. Do you trust in the Father today? Are you believing that what he said in his word he will do? That he will never leave you or forsake you? Believe and trust in the Lord. He will not forsake you. But we got to believe and we got to trust, which is faith. The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We've got to have faith. Solomon had faith. Jesus had faith. And all David had faith. Abraham had faith. And all prayed, Moses prayed. Jesus prayed all the time. We got, and these are some life lessons from our word today. And one is this, I have heard your prayer. It's, and this is 1 Kings verse 9, verse 3 of chapter 9. It says, when we bring our request to God, he hears. It may not always seem as though he hears. Sometimes it may feel as though we speak into the air, but he hears and he acts for those who wait for him. Underline the word wait. We have to wait on God because everything we want may not come when we want it, but it's going to always be on time. Keep trusting God. 1 Kings 10 and 23. King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. The Lord had promised to make Solomon the wisest man in history and the richest king of his age. And he fulfilled that promise within 20 years of giving it. It didn't happen overnight. It happened 20 years. So whatever you may have been praying for 20 years ago may not come true until now. And whatever you're praying for now may not come true until 20 years from now. Always in God's time. John 11 and 37. Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Yes, Jesus could have. But he chose to do something else. He did not spare his friend even great grief. He didn't spare Mary and Martha grief. He didn't spare his disciples grief because they all loved Lazarus. Because it benefited them more in the end to witness his power over there. Go to Romans 8 and 18, and we're going to do that really quick. So we're going to have a couple of scriptures in here. But go to Romans 18, 8 and 18. We're going to go over there really quick because I got to go to work today. Romans 8 and 18. And it says this, the glory, from suffering to glory. It says, for I consider this the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Whew. And it goes to say, for the earnest expectation, this is chapter verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to brutality, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together unto now. Not only that, but we also who have first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Mm. And I love this verse, and this is my highlightable for Romans 8, and it's 8 and 28. It says, for we know that all things work together for good. Y'all know that verse, right? Woo! To those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8 and 28, and I got to say it one more time. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. We are called according to his purpose. All things are working for our good. When we believe and trust in the Lord God, he will not forsake us. And our last is a light, what the Bible says about God's forever love. And it says, 1 Corinthians 13 is probably the most widely quoted passage in the world on the subject of love. And we all know love is patient and love is kind. How now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is what? Love. The Word of God tells us to love our neighbor. The Word of God tells us to love God and keep his commandments. God loves us, that he gave his only begotten son for our salvation. Jesus loves us enough to die on the cross for us. Love is the encompassing of this word. And it says we recognize that Jesus demonstrated sacrificial love for us by dying for our sins. And this is Dr. Stanley speaking. Making forgiveness and restoring us to fellowship with the Father. Yet we often fail to realize that Christ's love goes even beyond the cross. Come on now. Everything we do, don't do, face and don't face is touched by his continuing love. Everything about us hinges on love because God is love, created us in his image. 1 John 4 and 8. And when we go over to 1 John 4 and 8, and we're going to go there really quick. Lord, give us time. 1 John chapter 4, we're going to go to verse number 8. And it says this, but we're going to go up really quick to verse number 7 before we go to verse 8. And when we go to 1 John chapter 4, it says, knowing God through love. You know how they have the little titles in our Bible? That's what it says, knowing God through love. And it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Wow. That's verse 7. And then when we go to verse 8, it says, he who does not love does not know God. For God is love. Then when we go down to verse 16, it says this, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. He who abides in love abides in God and God abides in him. We got to love. If you say, I love God, but hate your neighbor, then you can't say you love God. And then it goes on to tell us, and I love you, Dr. Stanley. Thank you so much for this word. It says, because God loves us, he gives us blessings and lets us share them. When we pray and are told to wait, it is because he loves us and knows we need time to grow. when the overwhelming choices before us make it hard to know which way is up, our Lord and Savior shows us our need to depend on his guiding love. Jesus demonstrated this kind of amazing love to Mary and Martha upon Lazarus' death. John 11 and 6 says, when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Jesus knew that Mary and Martha needed to grieve in order to grow. He allowed the sisters pain because he loved them. Until we come to understand and believe at our deepest, innermost level that God is love, we will struggle with trusting him, yielding to him, obeying him, and serving him wholeheartedly. One of the keys to our spiritual growth as Christians is believing in God even when we cannot see it. While we are to live in faith and hope, our most important dwelling place is God's love. Without making his love our ultimate dwelling, we cannot fully live in faith and hope. We should refuse to take a step or a breath without remaining keenly sensitive to the greatest of these, our Father's love. And that is our word for this morning. Thank you, Dr. Stanley, for this wonderful Bible. Thank you, God, for giving us insight and understanding. For Lord God, we love you, and we know you love us. Thank you, Lord, for this great word this morning. And before we get out of here, ladies and gentlemen, we have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And our word for this morning is this. Everything God does is right, whether we like it or not. Right in the word today. Have a God-trusting Tuesday. All up in the word, isn't she not? That's when you know you're in on the right track. That's when you know that God is in charge. That's when you know that what you put down is what God gave you. Believe and trust in the Lord God. He will not forsake you. Everything God does is right, whether we like it or not. Come on now. Have a God-trusting Tuesday. Thank you, Father, for the confirmation. Whew, Lord God, you're good, and you're good all the time. And this is another word for us when we talk about love. This is our prayer for today. And it says, it's aim for harmony. Let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Romans 14:19 NLT. God of unity, you did not make us isolated beings, each living our own life in separate lanes. You created us for community, for fellowship, and for family. We were never meant to live alone, being only accountable to ourselves. Lord, in the family of believers, it is so easy to get frustrated with those who think and do things differently than I would. Jesus, when you instructed your disciples, you didn't tell them that they should strive to be right and only surround themselves with people they agreed with. No, you set the standard of love and work with them. But unity takes intentionality. Lord, may I be a builder of people, seeking to encourage them, not tear them down or dismiss them when I disagree. Let harmony be the hallmark of your church, not division. You are worthy of our unity, Jesus, as we all come under your headship. And our word for this morning is, in harmony or order, more important in a church setting. Is harmony or order more important in a church setting? Let us live in love today. Love you all. Thank you all. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day in the Lord. Believe and trust in the Lord God. He will not forsake you. Have a loving God. As Sister Carolyn says, have a trust in God, Tuesday family. Be blessed. It is a wrap. Why? Because this girl's got to go to work. Love you all. Be blessed. Have a great day. It's a wrap.